Father, we bless you. The Bible says that when you arose, you took captivity captive. The Bible said you made a public disgrace and shame of the enemy. Today, let the effect of your ascension continue in our life. Let every demonic entities and agents be exposed in our lives. Let them be exposed in our houses. Let them be exposed in our communities. Let them be exposed in our jobs. Wherever we shall encounter them, let them be exposed by the efficacy and the effect of your anointing and the blood of the living lamp. So let it be, O God. In Jesus' name I pray, let them be exposed in this ministry. Let them never be comfortable. Let the blood of Jesus Christ arrest them and disgrace them in every dimension and avenue of our lives. In Jesus' name. Today I ask, O God, that may your spirit rule the atmosphere. Permeate this atmosphere. Take dominion and take charge. We bless you, Holy Ghost, because you are here. We thank you, Father. May I decrease that you may increase. I ask for skill. I ask for wisdom. I ask for intelligence into the realms of the supernatural. Bless me, O God, and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Turn to somebody, tell them, I know you are free. Oh, come on, wake them up. They look like they are so dull. Tell them, I know you are free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight we shall continue our study, after which we shall do some tactical prayers to intercept the operations and the functions and the due activities of the enemy or demons. Amen. Last week, I started talking about the subject demonology, level 101, meaning it is an introduction. Hallelujah. Amen. And you got to understand that demons exist, and you cannot be a Christian without knowing that there are demons and they are real. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a need why this subject must be taught to the hearing of the believer, because what you don't know is a threat unto you. Amen. And in fact, if you don't know what you are delivered from, you will not appreciate the efficacy of the blood. You will not know the effect of the blood, because you don't know what you have been redeemed from. And if you don't know that, then you shall abuse your salvation. You shall abuse your redemption. Amen. The word abuse is a constructive word coming together with two words, which is abnormal and also use. And you bring that two words together, and it is abnormal usage, which is constructed as abuse. So if you don't know what the blood has done in your life, you shall abuse the blood, and you will abuse your salvation, because you do not understand what exactly you have been delivered from. I hear from somebody. There is so much ignorance in the church of Jesus Christ of today. And I want to make certain corrections and correct the errors where they are needed. Amen. There is a book called The Art of War. How many of you have heard of it before? No. Cindy Trim is too young for that. Amen. But she also wrote a book called The Art of War. She copied the title from somebody who lived years, thousands of years. Who have heard of The Art of War? Christian. I guess he will definitely hear of it. The Art of War is written by a Chinese man called Sun Tzu. And Sun Tzu lived many years ago. And this book is read directly in the military. It has been a military strategy over the ages in diverse nations, which people practice, and even criminals read The Art of War to learn tactics of operations and all kinds of things. It's not a very, very big book. It's a very straightforward book. The most interesting part of it is because it was written in Chinese and then it was translated. So you read the English version and the grammatical errors are all over the place. But the point is the strategy and the idea behind the book. Sancho made a statement in the book. He said, if you know your enemies and know yourself, you will not be destroyed in 100 battles. If you do not know your enemies, but do know yourself, you will win one and lose one. Amen. If you do not know your enemies, nor yourself, you will be destroyed in every single battle. Amen. Are you confused? Don't be confused. This is not a scripture. This is just philosophy. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, what he's saying is that it is critical to know two things in life. To know your enemy and to know yourself. If you know your enemy and you know yourself, then you have the upper hand to win the battle. But if you know the enemy and you don't know yourself, then you are winning one battle out of two. If you also know yourself and you don't know the enemy, you are still winning one battle out of two. But to win every battle in life, you have to identify your enemy and know your enemy. Are you hearing me, somebody? You will not understand the believer's authority unless you know the enemy that is opposing the believer. Are you hearing me, somebody? You will not know what power God has invested in you. You will not know what you are capable of. You will not understand why David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, for me, I will quote that statement because I love it. He said, what is man that you are mindful of him? In other words, you will not know who you are if you have not been able to identify your enemy. For in physics, it is said that for every force, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So if you know how forceful your enemy is, if you know how aggressive your enemy is, if you know how dangerous your enemy is, in other words, it means that God did not create you to sit down and look like somebody who is weak in the sight of the enemy. But God created you so that you can stand chest up, look into the eyes of the enemy, eyeball to eyeball, shoulder up to shoulder up, and confront the enemy. For the Bible said, they that be of you, they shall confront the enemy at the gate. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? But if you are able to know the enemy and you know how fierce and aggressive he is, and you don't know yourself, you shall run away from the battlefield. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? If you meet the devil in your room today, you will leave your room for him. I have seen Christians who have vacated their house and their bedrooms and they are paying rent and they are sleeping somewhere else because the devil has moved in and he's not paying no rent. Hallelujah. I didn't mention nobody's name. I don't know you. I'm just saying something out of the abstract. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a problem. The point of the matter is that there is a problem. That if you discover that there is something going on in your house as a believer, and you hear that there are some animals singing around your windows, or you see some strange animal passing by, suddenly you begin to look at the mouses that they are possessed. Say, this mouse is strange. And you start pouring Goya all over the place. It is an indication that you have identified your enemy, but you have not identified yourself. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because if you identify yourself, you know that you are equal to the task. You know that power has been invested in you, that you can rebuke the devil once. And the Bible said, he shall flee away from you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't come to preach, I came to teach today. But I want you to understand why we are going through these lessons. It is a dangerous thing to live a Christian life and to know that Jesus Christ has given you power and not know what the power is for. I hear me somebody. It is a dangerous thing to read the scripture and to read the ascension of Jesus at the command where he told the disciples that whosoever believes in this thing that you preach unto them, in my name they shall do this, in my name they will do that, in my name they will bring this to pass. They will cast out demons, they will drink of any poisonous thing, they will walk on the serpents, and they shall not be harmed. And he says that those that believe, this is the power that has been invested in them. But if you are able to identify yourself to be that, and you are not able to identify who your enemy is, then the effect of your power is zero. I hear me, somebody. Somebody turn to the book of 2 Corinthians 2:11. This is just the intermission of our lesson. I'll start the lesson and I'll let you know we have started, but this is just intermission. 2 Corinthians. Four people from last week, get a mic. Get a mic. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Second person, open to 1 Corinthians 9:26. 1 Corinthians 9:26. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 2 Corinthians 2:11. Yeah, Deacon Charles, you can read it, please.
2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us.
Hold on. Give him another mic. It's not you, don't worry.
Thank you. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us.
He said that what? Least what?
Satan.
Oh, everybody. He said least what?
Satan.
You don't have to open. Amen. He's reading. You just write the scripture down. We are all fine. Amen.
Amen.
He said least Satan should what?
Get an advantage of us.
Gain an advantage over us. Go on, please.
For we are not ignorant of his devices.
Amen. Amen. He said that what? Least Satan should gain an advantage over us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, if we were ignorant of the activities and the operation of Satan, then he is winning the battle. I hear him, somebody. If we are ignorant of the devices of Satan, then Satan has an edge. He has an advantage over our life. He has outwitted us in the battlefield and he has defeated us. If there is a reason why you are afraid of certain things in life, it is because you are ignorant of something in your life. I hear me somebody. If you are afraid of witches, it means you are ignorant of the operations of witches, the activities of witches, and you are ignorant of what God has deposited inside of you. You are ignorant of the blood of the living Christ. Are you understanding this? He said, least. In other words, it should not happen. Therefore, we need information. Therefore, we need intelligence to prevent this from happening. He said, least this should happen to us. That Satan should gain an advantage. He said, but however, we are not ignorant. However, we possess intelligence. However, we have information of who our opponent is. However, we know who we are dealing with. Last week, I spoke about the nature and the characteristics of demons, that they have intellect, that they were able to distinguish between Paul and Jesus and between the other people who came to cast them out. That they have intelligence. They are not ignorant. So it is dangerous for a very ignorant believer to approach the enemy and to confront him. they will make macaroni and cheese out of you. Hallelujah. Somebody read 1 Corinthians 9:26. 1 Corinthians 9:26.
I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air.
He said, I therefore so what? Oh, he said, I therefore so what? I therefore so what? Run, not as what? Not as uncertain. In other words, I do not run, not knowing where I am going. I hear me, somebody. I hear me, somebody. You don't just wake up and say, oh, and they say, I feel like praying, and you began praying. No, 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 no. People don't just wake up and say, I feel like going to war. It doesn't happen that way. He said, no one goes to war without first calculating the cost. No one first builds a house. No one lays the foundation without calculating the cost of it. He said, I do not run, not as one that goeth forth uncertainly. That I don't know why or where I am going. He said, and then what? He said, and I do not fight as one beating against the air. You don't see a boxer in the ring throwing punches in the air, thinking they are hitting somebody. I hear of somebody. He said, I do not fight as one beating against the air. In other words, I know my opponent. I know what I am dealing with. I know what I am fighting against. He said, I am not just throwing punches into the air. I hear of somebody. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? You see, if you are going to pray effectively, you need divine intelligence. You need information on the battlefield. When a nation goes to war, they gather spy information. They gather satellite intelligence before they go to the war. So that before America went to Iraq, they had already gathered satellite intelligence, and they knew where Saddam Hussein's house was. They knew where he would be hiding without even being on the ground. They had intelligence information ahead of time. So that they were not fighting or beating against the wind. When they threw one missile, they believed that a missile was worth $1 million. So when they were throwing the missile, they knew their target. You do not waste prayer because you think you can pray. Are you hearing me, somebody? You have to have a target. Your prayer life must be tactical. It must be strategic. You need to have a lesser precision of where you are directing your prayer. Got to discover what you are praying against. And I was telling you the other time that the man in the Bible called blind Bartimaeus prayed a wrong prayer. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible said his prayer was intense. Had it not been intense, Jesus would not have heard of him. But the Bible said he shouted out them all and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he gained the attention of heaven. And heaven stood still, for Jesus was at that moment in control of the heavens. He was in charge, and he decides when the heavens stop and when the heavens opens. And the Bible said, and Jesus stood still and says unto them, bring me that man. And the Bible said, they said unto him, be of good cheer, for the master calleth for thee. And the Bible said, when they brought him unto the master, the rabbi, Jesus said unto him, what would thou have me do for you? In other words, you pray a prayer, but the prayer was not on target. The prayer was not specific. So I've messed up. So, Pastor, I pray. What did you pray about? It's not the fact that you prayed. Oh, no. As for prayer, everybody can pray. Even the devil prays. But what did you pray about? Look at blind Bartimaeus with the intensity of the praying. shouted on top of his voice, gained divine access, until the heavens stood still and said, what would thou have me do for you? And the Bible says that, you know, Jesus might have asked the question according to my thinking, because that Bartimaeus was by the wayside. The Bible said he was looking for money. So Jesus' question was accurate, because who knows, all what he wanted was money. For in the book of Acts, the Bible said Peter and John were passing by, and the Bible said there was a man who was paralyzed, and the Bible said he said unto them to give them money, and they said, silver and gold we do not have. In other words, that could have been the prayer of Bartimaeus. So Jesus asked him, he said, correct your prayer, be precise. What would thou have me do for you? You are not just praying and beating against the air. You see, you don't have enough time in prayer. You can't pray for 8 hours. So you might as well know exactly what you are praying about before you pray. I don't know how many of you go to the grocery store or the supermarket and you have not calculated what you are going to buy, and you just walk in there and say, whatever my eyes see today, I will buy it. I don't know how many of you do that. I know Stephanie will do it. But I don't know how many of you will do such a thing. Hallelujah. That you will walk in there and just buy anything. You have to have a specific target. Hannah came into the prayer room every day. And the Bible said, and Hannah prayed, and Hannah prayed, and Hannah prayed. She prayed for several years. 5 years she prayed. Hannah prayed for 8 years. Hannah prayed for 10 years. Hannah prayed for 15 years. You think you have prayed? No. You have not prayed enough. Hannah prayed for 25 years. You read the Bible, you think that once you turn the next cover, it is the next day. No. It's not the next day. Things don't work like that in the Bible. Hannah prayed for 25 years. And all this while, the prayer topic was wrong. One day she came to prayer and she prayed intensely. Then she gained divine intelligence. She gained advanced information. Somehow, she had some information that was hidden and recognized that the priest, his children, had backslided and knew that God was looking for someone to be in the temple. So she prayed and said, oh God, give me a son that I may give him back to you, because I know you are looking for a priest and I am looking for a son. So Hannah immediately by her way into the mind of God and received that thing. If only you had such intelligence of what to pray for, you will not waste enough prayer ammunitions. Because believe me, ammunitions do run out. They will run out. There are days when you don't feel like praying. Why, prayer is not sweet. It's not sweet. He said, so I am fighting, not beating the air. Not beating the air. So the reason why we are going through this subject is so you understand your opposition. It's so you have intelligence of your opposition. You will know what demonic activities are. You will know their operations, their schemes. You will know how they maneuver themselves into your life, into your house, into your family, so that you can know these things and know how to fight effectively as a believer. You will know how to pray. Amen. Now the intermission has ended. Let's go to our subject for today. Amen. I'm speaking on the subject today, continuing the demonology series, level 101, and we are dealing today on functions and operations of demons. Functions and operations of demons. The functions and operations. Those of you who have the microphones, turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 3, 1, 2, 9. The next person, turn to 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 4. The rest of you, just write it down so that you can read it later and tell me I quoted wrong. That's what I'm looking for. The third person, turn to 1 Timothy 4, 1. And 1, 2, 3. And the next person turned to Jude 1:18. Jude 1:18. Deacon Charles will read 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 9. Jennifer will read 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 4. And Solomon will read 1 Timothy 4, 1. And Asantua will read Jude 1:18. And you can write down 2 Peter 3, 3. We are not reading, just write it down. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir, read.
2 Timothy 3, 1 to 9. This know also.
He said, this what?
Know also.
He said, this what?
Know also.
Oh, the rest of you are not supposed to have your head in the Bible. Amen. Just write down, look up. Amen. It's a teaching. He said, this what?
Know also.
Who is he speaking to? Who is he speaking to?
Timothy.
Who, first of all, who is speaking?
Paul is speaking.
Who is he speaking to?
Timothy.
He is speaking to who?
Timothy.
He is speaking to Timothy to deliver a message to the church. In other words, he is speaking to you and I. Amen.
Amen.
So he said, this what?
No.
He said, this know also. That this you must know as a believer. Read on, please.
That in the last days, perilous times shall come.
That in the last days, what days are we in right now?
Perilous times.
What days are we in right now?
Perilous times.
Why are you guys confusing everybody? The thing was just right in the Bible. So in the last days, perilous is an adjective. Qualifying the noun. What days are we in right now? What days are we in right now? How do you know we are in the last days? Because of the adjective that is qualifying the noun. I hear of it, somebody. Read on.
Amen. For men shall be lovers of their own self.
Men shall be lovers of their own self.
Covetous.
Covetousness.
Boasted.
Taking what does not belong to you. Go on.
Proud.
Proud.
Blasphemous.
Blasphemous.
Disobedient to parents.
Disobedient to their parents.
Unthankful.
Unthankful. Ungrateful.
Unholy.
Unholy.
Without natural affection.
Without what?
Natural affection.
Natural affection.
Mm. Truth breakers.
They are truth breakers and covenant breakers.
False accusers.
False accusation, character assassination.
Incontinent.
What?
Incontinent.
Incontinent.
Fierce.
Fierce.
Despisers of those who are good.
Despisers of good people.
That's oh. Right. Traitors.
What?
Traitors.
Traitors.
Heady.
Who?
Heady.
Asimba.
High minded. High minded.
Read it. I thank God you are the one reading it.
Amen.
It's not that bad. Go on.
High.
Hey, it's not that bad. You are making it so difficult. I just saw it on the screen.
High minded.
It's all right. High minded.
Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of what?
Of God.
More than lovers of who?
God.
More than lovers of who?
God.
Ah, that sounds like your Christian life, right? Amen. It says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We are dealing with demonic activities or the functions of demons within these times. One of the things you have to notice in the Bible is that demonic activities within the present times is greater than it was in the Bible days. Listen again. I am not contradicting anything. He said, demonic activities within these times, within now. Demons are aggressive, they are fierce, they are more dangerous, and they are more serious than they ever were. I hear from somebody. They have never been serious as they are right now. Why? Because the Bible said we are in the last days. So the activities of the enemy has increased, and you can see it through what is happening among people. It said, for people shall be truth breakers or covenant breakers. They shall be high-minded. You cannot counsel them. You cannot, you know, instruct them. They are full of themselves. They are so high-minded. He said, they are filled with pride. So that you can approach them concerning a situation. When you go to the book of Isaiah 14, you read about the five eyes. I will do this five times. The devil said, pride has taken over their lives. They have become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Why? Because there is a demonic activity that has increased within this generation. Jennifer, read yours.
2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God.
He said, I do what? He said, I do what? Oh, he said, I do what? He said, I charge you. The word charge is a military word. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. The word charge is not an option. He said, I charge you therefore. Read on.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure.
He said, for the time will what?
Will come when.
For the time will what? The time will come when they will no longer endure what?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. The time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. And what else?
But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
Amen. He said that what? He said, be watchful. He said, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will no longer want to be taught. They go to the church like they are going to see a psychic. Like they are going to see a witch doctor. Because the Bible said, they do not want to hear the word of God, but they want to hear what they want to hear. Pastor, tell us. Tell me. What is going to happen? Prophesy. You go to a prophetic gathering and prophesy, prophesy. Go deep, go deep. Maniyehu means let it be scary. In other words, the prophetic itself is not enough. While you are prophesying, they say, make it more scary. It's a fly, fly, fly means go deep. You are shallow. He said, it's what they want to hear, for they will no longer endure sound doctrine. And these are demonic activities. Today I said I am going through introductions and elementary things. I will not go deep, but we will come to a point. I will talk about spirits. I will talk about familiar spirits and its operation when it comes to demonic activities in the pulpit. So that you understand that most of the things that you have seen is just spirits. Most of the things you have seen in the pulpit is familiar spirits. It's things that if you went to the church of seraphims and cherubims, they will do for you. It's not things you expect to see in the church of Jesus Christ. These are demonic operations. You go through those spiritual churches, spirits, and you think every church is just, no, every church is not the same. I was in Atlanta, we were doing a program. I think I've told you before, but I was there for a program, and at the program, we're doing administration. We're three of us, three pastors, we're doing administration. And as we were praying, I saw this woman come forward, and the Holy Spirit said to me, don't lay hands on this woman. Not knowing the pastor I went to visit has also noted it. But the other pastor didn't know it. And she lay hands. Later, when everything was done and she realized what was going on, she came back to me and she was like, Pastor, I shouldn't have laid my hands. Because the woman who came to the church, we confronted her. I said, what are you doing here? Why did you come in front here? I said, Pastor, I want prayer. I said, no. He said, no. Where have you been before you came here? So we know that you are carrying. And the woman said, no, Pastor, I'm not carrying nothing. Pastor, I'm not carrying nothing. Pastor, I've not gone for anything. We talked. Then the senior pastor said, okay, fine. We can't pray for you. Go sit down. Then finally she decided and she said, Pastor, I went to a place and she had a talisman inside her head. And she took it out and said, Pastor, I want to give it up. Went to see a voodoo priest, and then you came to church wearing the talisman in your head, walked to the altar for an anointing service. That's bold. That is some demonic boldness. Walk to the pulpit with that pin in your head where the oil will touch. You have that pin. See, it's not the same. Where you went and where you came is not the same. There are two powers and there are two authorities in place. It's not the same. I'm telling you, you have no idea what is taking place. The Bible said that they shall be lovers of themselves. They want to hear what they want to hear. They did not come to seek God. So in these times, the activities of the enemy has increased. Solo read yours, please. Read yours. I think yours is what I probably had wrong. Read it.
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
No, this is 1 Timothy. What about in 2 Timothy? Read it.
And I read, God's Spirit clearly says that in the last days...
God's Spirit does what?
Clearly says.
It does what?
Clearly says.
It does what?
Clearly says.
In other words, there is no argument about what the Spirit of God is saying concerning this time, that demonic activities have increased. So read. I know Christian was checking your Bible to make sure. Go ahead and read.
That many people will turn from their faith.
Many people will turn. How many people?
Many.
How many people?
Uncountable.
Uncountable people will turn from their faith. In other words, they will leave the church or the true church. Read on.
They will be fooled by evil spirits and by teachings. They'll be fooled by evil spirits.
Oh, you really, really got the Bible Christian is talking about, did you? It's okay, read it. Read it. No wonder they were checking your Bible. But I like that because I'm talking about demonic spirits. Said they will be fooled by what evil spirit. But read the King James. Let's go. Seducing spirit. Say evil spirit. I like that. It's fine. But go on.
I charge thee.
First Timothy. No, let him read it. Let him get it.
Okay, it's I have fine. It now.
Yes, you do.
Giving heed to seducing spirits.
Giving heed to what? Start from the beginning again, please.
Now the Spirit speaketh.
Now the Spirit is speaking.
Expressly.
Not man.
Yeah.
Not expressly.
Mm-hmm. That in the latter days,
these days,
some shall depart from their faith.
Some of us will depart from their faith,
giving heed to seceding,
because we heard about certain seducing spirits
and doctrines of evils,
from other places,
speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with
having your conscience sealed. Do you know what that means? In other words, you know the truth that the church you are attending or the place you are going is not good. But because of what you want now, so you sealed your conscience. Read on, please.
Forbidding to marry.
Now I know Paul wrote that one. Go on.
And commanding to abstain from meat, which God have created to be a receiver.
Forbidding to marry one and what?
And commanding to abstain from meat.
Commanding to abstain from meat.
Which God have created to be.
Which God has created. Of Emma, you hear that? You can eat lobster. You can eat snails and crabs. Amen.
Amen.
He taught me another doctrine. And he said to me that any meat that you chew the bones before you meet the meat is an abomination. So crabs he doesn't eat, lobsters he doesn't eat, and I bought into the doctrine. I also don't eat crabs and lobsters. Now the Bible has exposed us. Hallelujah. He said doctrines that teaches that certain meats or pigs are unclean. He said those are not doctrines of God because God has cleansed it. Are you understanding this? Doctrines that teaches that thou shalt not marry. It's not good for you to marry. Don't do this. And all kind. He said these things are doctrines of devils. But people have sealed their conscience because of what they want. The whole point of this, therefore, is that there is more demonic trafficking within these last days than it has ever been in the previous years or in the previous generations. The demons are more aggressive now than they have been during the time of Jesus. They are more aggressive now than they have been during the time of the apostles. The reason why you don't see it that way is because now they have become more intelligent than they ever were. And now they know that we are more ignorant than we ever were. Are you hearing me, somebody? So now we don't even know that we are sharing a place with a demon or we are eating lunch with a demonic agent. Now it is cool to sit on the same table with a witch. I hear him, somebody. Where else Paul would have rebuked that spirit in front of him? But now we have made it a norm. It has become comfortable for us. So now we are not able to discern effectively who is having the wrong spirit. Because we have bought into any kind of doctrines and any kind of things. Secondly, when we talk about this, somebody read, why did I write this? We are talking about the operations of demons. But I want to insert something there quickly, then I'll come back to the subject. I didn't want to go deep into this, but I will do this just for 10 minutes and I'll come back to the actual subject. So that you understand that demons, John 16, 10 to John 16. So that you understand that demonic operations are now fierce than they have ever been. But I'm going to use a scripture you are familiar with. And I'm going to read the opposite of that scripture unto you. And make it known unto you that there are demonic influences. Because I want you to understand the nature of demons. The word demons or demon is a Greek word. It comes from the Greek word called demonia. Which the root word actually means intelligence. Not foolishness. Intelligence. John 16:13. Somebody can read quickly. Quickly, please.
How be it when he, the spirit of truth, is...
How be it when who?
He.
Underline the word he. When he,
The Spirit of truth.
The Spirit of truth.
Has come.
Comes.
He will guide you into all truth.
He would guide you. That is his assignment. He will guide you.
For he shall not speak of himself.
He will not speak of himself.
But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he
speak. Whatever he hears is what he says.
And he will show you things to come.
He will show you things to come. In other words, there shall be a prophetic release in the last days. So it is true that in this last day, the spirit of the prophets will be ignited like never before. Because the Bible said the Holy Spirit will tell you of things to come. But let me simplify this. He said that, but when he, this word he, identifies a personality, and the personality is the Holy Spirit. I hear him, somebody. He said, but when he, talking about a personality, but this personality is invincible. This personality cannot be seen. But however, his presence, the substance of his presence can be made known, so that you can sense that the Holy Spirit is here. You can sense that he is in this room, because his substance is available, even though he cannot be seen. He is invincible. He is not a it, he is a personality. He's a he. I hear on somebody. Then we know by nature that he is omniscient, meaning that what? He knows everything. He is omnipresent, meaning that what? He can be everywhere at the same time. He is omnipotent, meaning that he has all power, all dominion. He is unstoppable. Are you understanding this? This is what we call in theology as the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus said that, I will go. He said, it's expedient for you. It is expedient. It is good. It is necessary. It is imperative that I go, that the Holy Spirit will come. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, another person also came. Another spirit also came. That is what I want to put into your mind before I go into the rest of the teaching. But somebody read 1 John 4:3. Somebody else read 1 John 2:18. The third person reads 2 John 1:7. Oh, okay. I skip in my notes. That's why. I'm sorry. 1 John 4:3. 1 John 2:18. 2 John 1:7. The reason why we are doing this, so that you know that just as there is a dispensation called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the word dispensation means a period, meaning that a session within time period whereby God performs his schemes. You can divide the Bible into three dispensations. Bible theologians will divide it into seven. But you can divide the Bible into three dispensations. The first dispensation is the dispensation of God the Father, where he appears throughout in the Old Testament. The second dispensation is God the Son, where Jesus came. The third dispensation is the expediency of the Holy Spirit coming. So, this is the dispensation that we are dealing with. That even as there is a dispensation of the Holy Spirit, there is also another dispensation. Read that verse, 1 John 4:3.
1 John 4:3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Mm-hmm. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard.
This is what? That spirit of what?
Antichrist.
This is the spirit of what?
Antichrist.
Of the Antichrist. Whereof you have what?
You have heard.
Okay.
That is.
He said, this is what? The spirit of the Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but the spirit of the Antichrist. There is a difference. In other words, the Antichrist himself has not come forth, but his spirit has already preceded him. So he said, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, wherefore you have heard, but he is now already among us. Are you hearing me, somebody? So if there is a spirit called the Holy Spirit, who is the personality of God that precedes the second coming of Jesus, then there is another spirit called the spirit of the Antichrist, or the anti-dispensational period, who comes also and precedes the Antichrist. And his operation is among the demonias, that demons are enforcing the spirit of the Antichrist to make sure that it comes to pass. Now we read that the Holy Spirit, he, when he comes, he shall guide you. Now we understand that the Holy Spirit is a he. He's a personality, but he's a spirit. He's invincible. The same way we also understand that the Antichrist is also a he. He's a spirit and he's also invincible. Are you understanding? Somebody, are you catching on? And then we know the Holy Spirit is omniscient, but the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, is not omniscient. He does not know everything, but he has another skill, manipulation. That he can manipulate you and make you think he knows what he doesn't know. Are you hearing me, somebody? And we know the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but the Antichrist is not, the spirit of the Antichrist is not omnipresent. The spirit can only be in one place. But the devil has employed a lot of agents to make sure that they are everywhere. So that someone you know is working for him. He is also not omnipotent. In other words, he can't be stopped. I hear me, somebody. I said the Holy Spirit is unstoppable, but the spirit of the Antichrist, demonic activities that are carried for the anti-dispensational period can be stopped in your life. They are not permanent. They are not meant to dominate your life, but they can be stopped in your life. They can be eradicated in your life by the blood of the living Christ. And the Bible said the function of the Holy Spirit is to guide. This therefore also gives us a certain basic function of demons who carry forth in the spirit of the Antichrist, that they do not guide us into truth, but they guide you into a pit or into a snare. Are you understanding me, somebody? Because their purpose is to reverse. Their purpose is to intercept what the Holy Spirit has come to do in the same dispensation in your life. So that the Holy Spirit has come to be a comforter in your life, but the Antichrist or demons have come to be the oppressor in your life. Are you hearing me, somebody? So if there is a reason why you are oppressed, if there is a reason why you are compressed in your life, it's because that there are demonic activities which are influencing certain areas within your life. Amen. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will not speak that which he was not asked to speak. But the spirit of the Antichrist, remember that what in the last days, the Bible said that what? I mean, the Holy Spirit will reveal many things, meaning the spirit of prophecy shall be ignited. The unknown shall be discovered. Now the spirit of the Antichrist will also come within the spirit of prophecy, and then there shall be prophetic manipulations and deceptions. Are you understanding this?
Anyway, that was just by the way. I didn't have to go through all that with you today. I'm sorry. Write this down. Activities of demons. This is where we shall end today. I have to run through this. I wanted to do something today. I couldn't.
They can cause insanity. Mark 5:1-5. Demons or demonic activities can tweak your mind. They can confuse you. They can cause insanity, mental disorder in your mind. Mark 5:1-5. Somebody read there quickly. I'm in a rush and in a haste. They can give unusual physical power. It is also in Mark 5:1-4. They can cause suicide. Mark 9:22. Somebody else read Mark 9:22. Yes, read yours.
Mark 5:1-5. And they came over onto the other side.
And they came to the other side. Go on.
Into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him after the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Spirit. Now we learned the other day that demons are unclean spirits. or that is the translation for demons in the scripture, is unclean spirit. Amen. In other words, a man with a demonic possession or a man with a demon within him. Speak, please. Go on.
Who had his dwelling among the tombs?
He had his dwelling among where?
The tomb.
He had his dwelling among where? Now, tombs are not for human beings. They are for the dead. They are not for the living. The Bible said he had his dwelling among tombs. Read on.
And no man could bind him.
No man could bind him.
No, nor be chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off,
it's okay, that is fine. So the Bible tells us that this man has lost his mind. He was cast out of society because of demonic activities, or demons have taken control within him. They have possessed him. Today we are not talking about demonic possession, but you got to understand that this man is an example of what demons can do when they possess you. The Bible said that what they took him from within, and through the activities of demon, he gained extra power within him. So that the Bible said no man can tame him. He had unusual physical power. Mark 9:22. Somebody read it quickly. They can cause suicide. Demons can possess. Go on. Yeah, Mark 9:22.
And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion
Amen.
On us.
But I said, and oftentimes the demons within him will cast the boy into fire. I hear me, somebody. In an attempt to take his life, they will cast him into the waters and all kinds of things. They will do all kinds and manner of things to him in an attempt to destroy his life. So that there were suicidal thoughts within him. And Mark 5, that we read 12, demons can possess animals. For they said unto Jesus, that gave us another body that we may enter. And the Bible said, and Jesus commanded them into a herd of pigs or swines. So the Bible said the demon left the man and they entered the swines. You see, the only way that demons can operate on this earth, the only form of operation within the earth, the only form to exercise authority within the earth, is to have a body without which you are ineffective on the earth. So disembodied beings, demons, are roaming about the earth looking for a place, looking for a body to enter. So when Jesus had evicted them out of the man, the Bible said they beseech him to let them enter the head of the swines. And the Bible said they possess the swines. Now remember that these demons are legions, and they have possessed this man, 3,000 to 6,000 of them, one person. Not one demon, one person. Over 3,000 to 6,000 demons have possessed him. It tells you that demons are numerous. If they can take one person 6,000, then they are out. They have outnumbered us. So definitely they will find a house to live in. I'm telling you. I'm not scaring you. Me, I'm telling you the truth. That you have to be wise and skillful in your living and in your prayer life. You have to appreciate what the blood of the living lamb has done in your life, and you have to know how to evoke the blood in your life and to make the blood work for you in your life. You cannot just sit down just like that. You have to know there are powers behind the scenes which are working within this world, and you have to know how to deal with them. So that the Bible said that what? The demons possess the swines. So you know that demons can possess animals. The Bible said in the book of Genesis 3 that the devil entered the serpent. So you know that demons can possess animals and do what they want to do. As long as there is a body that can help them to fulfill their agenda on the earth, they will possess that body. Don't make yours available. Hallelujah. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare I am covered by the blood. Oh, say it with boldness. Say, I declare I am covered by the blood of the living Christ. Say this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. No demon, no power, no spirit in the underworld can possess it. In the name of Jesus. Say, what the blood has done to this body. No demon can overrule it in the name of Jesus. Say, what the blood has done in my life. No demon can change it. In the name of Jesus. Quickly write this down. We are going to pray very soon. They are behind idol worship. Leviticus 17:7, Isaiah 65:11, Deuteronomy 32:17, Zechariah 13:2, Hosea 4:12, Acts 17:22, 1 Corinthians 10:20. I say it again. Leviticus 17:7, Isaiah 65:11, Deuteronomy 32:17, Zechariah 13:2, Hosea 4:12, Acts 17:22, 1 Corinthians 10:20. If you didn't get it, then buy the CD. They desire the worship of men. Revelation 9:20-21. Number 7. They promote impurities and immoralities. Luke 8:27. Number 8. They promote false doctrines. We read about that. 1 Timothy 4:1. James 3:15. 1 John 4:1. They oppose spiritual growth of believers. Ephesians 6:12. Number 10. The spirit of division. They carry and propagate the spirit of division, the spirit of jealousy and hate. Romans 8:38, and there is a scripture in Ezekiel. I forgot. I was in a haste. Number 11, the control of men from within, or they control men from within, which in other words is called demonic possession. Now, that is a broad subject. We are not covering this today. Let me give you one example of demonic operations in scriptures. Then we end here today and then we pray. We continue next week. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 16. The verse number 16. An example of demonic operations that took place in the scriptures. Acts chapter 16, whoever is there, read the verse number 16.
And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel...
Wait a minute. And it came to pass as what?
We went...
Oh, everybody. And we came to pass as what? Wait a minute. And we came to pass as we what? Where were they going? Where were they going? That is why you should be in prayer meeting. Read on.
A certain damsel possessed with a...
A damsel is a young, beautiful girl. So you cannot tell that she has a demon inside of her. She is young. She is beautiful. That is what a damsel means. A certain damsel, not all damsels, belongs to you. Read on, please.
Possessed with a spirit of divination.
A certain damsel was what? She was what? She was beautiful, but she was possessed. Hey. She was beautiful, but listen, before you approach somebody, scan them by the blood of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? I said, before you make before you make a decision with someone, scan them by the blood. Make sure you know what is inside of them. For she was what possessed. Read.
With the spirit of divination.
With the spirit of what?
Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying.
Wait a minute. This is a lot of information. With the spirit of what? Divination. With the spirit of what? Divination. And the Bible said that it brought what? Much gain. By soothsaying. Now you have to know that when we are talking about divination, divinations operate within the occult. We'll come back when we increase the level up, we'll talk about the occultism, you know, or occult, so that you know what exactly divination really means. So that, you know, divination operates in wishes. You know, divinations operates in false prophets and all kinds of things. Divinations operates in psychics. Divinations operates in fortune tellers. It operates in horoscope reading. You turn your computer, you read horoscopes, that is divination. The desire to know your future, that through an ungodly means. The desire to know what is happening with you right now in your relationship, through an ungodly means, is a divination. There is a spirit, there is a demon that is backing it. There is a demon that is castigating it. The desire to go to a Chinese restaurant and to read a fortune cookie is divination, because you want to know something about your life that is not of God. The desire to go to a Chinese restaurant and read a fortune cookie is divination. Look, there are spirits which are backing this thing. That is what you have to know, that these things are not just there. There are things which are, before anybody gives a prophecy, they have consulted something. So they don't just write that thing. These are people who are Buddhist and Hindu worshippers. And before they write those things down, they enchanted and they divine before they wrote down. In other words, you are indirectly consulting them. Yes, just when you go eat your food and go, that is what you went for. Divination, okay. The true interpretations of omens, interpretations of dreams, and all kinds of things. It also has to do with the casting of spells and whatnot. And the Bible said that there was a young damsel, a beautiful girl. She was possessed. But the Bible says she was divining. Read on. Something happened that you need to take notice of.
Verse 17. The same followed Paul and us.
The same followed who? Who did he follow? Oh, demonic boldness. Followed the man of comfort. So you recognize where the devil wants to be. The devil is bold. He's not afraid. You think the brat bought you, so Satan will not come to you. No. The Bible said they followed Paul.
And us.
Read on.
And cry saying. These men are the servants of the Most High God,
mm-hmm.
which show unto us the way of salvation.
Uh-huh.
And this did she many days.
Wait on. Wait up. He said, these are who? The servants of the... This is no false prophecy. This is accurate and precise prophecy. These are the servants of God, and they teach us, not you, they teach us the way of salvation. So you think somebody's on the pit, and then after they did whatever, they say, oh, whoever wants to give their life to Jesus. So you think they are from God. The Bible said that she said that these men are the servants of God that leads us, or they teaches us, the way of salvation. So you would have thought that she was a true prophet. For she endorsed the ministry of Jesus. She endorsed the ministry of Paul. She endorsed the ministry of Silas. And say that these are true men of God. They teach us the way of salvation. And the Bible says she did it many days, not few days. And every day Paul and Silas were passing, the woman was prophesying. Accurate prophecies. Accurate. Be careful. Itching ears. Be very, very careful. Because what you want to hear, you will hear it from a source that you are not supposed to hear it from. And it will rain you life. I'm telling you. I was praying for a certain someone. Let me give you an example. I was praying for a certain someone. And as I was praying for her, I told her something. And I prayed for this person for several weeks, entering into a month. And I told her to come and pray for her, and then I cancel it, and then by the grace of God, she was fine. She moved to another place, and then, just temporary, moved there temporary, and then while she was there, she met a certain pastor, and this person that I said I prayed for was looking for a job, told the pastor said, okay, fine, bring this money and bring this, and let me pray for you. So, she called me and she told me, and I said, hey, you, ever since you've been here, I never asked you to bring me money. Now, you are looking for a job. You don't have money. You want to borrow money from me. Go give it to another pastor. That was not even my problem. And I said, listen carefully. The person you are going to is not a man of God. Then I left her to wait. She thought I was joking, and she went ahead. And the same thing we prayed about for almost a month and canceled and it left her. After she went through that, it returned again. Listen, there are things which are happening that if you are not careful, you will give yourself unto certain things because of your desperation to be released of something. For the Bible says she prophesied every day. Her prophecies were accurate and said, these are the servants of the living God. They show the way of salvation. And the Bible said it continued for several days. Go on, finish this up. Let's move.
But Paul, being grieved.
But what? But what? Underline the word but. Read on.
Turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
And he came out when? And he came out when? Underline hour. Meaning he did not come out the same minute. You didn't see that in the Bible before, right? So when we are, you know, casting out, they say, oh, but in the Bible, Pastor, it only took a few minutes. Who told you that? Who told you? Told you. When there is instant, the Bible said, and it left instantly or immediate. The Bible said, and it came out the same hour. Meaning it lasted for an hour. Are you understanding this? Meaning that Paul went through this process for an hour. It's not easy. They will wear you out. And the Bible says that Paul came to a point where he was grieved. Fed up with this demonic operation in this young girl. And the Bible said immediately Paul cast out that spirit out of her. Today I declare over your life and over your family, over your children and whoever comes around you, that by the ascension of the blood of the living Christ, any demonic activities and operation around your life, may it be eradicated, may it be exposed, may it be cast out, may it be destroyed this very night, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, I declare, whoever is on your job site that is possessed and causing you problems, let the power of the Holy Ghost consume that spirit out of them. In the name of Jesus, I declare, whoever has your application that will not let you go and they are demonic possessed, let the blood break them and say, let your application loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare any demon in your family, any demonic operation in your marriage, let it be broken. Any demonic activities in your marriage that is breaking your husband, breaking your wife, breaking your relationship, today I declare, may the consuming fire of the Holy Ghost run through your family, run through your marriage, run among your sisters, run among your brothers, and begin to scan everybody and release your family by the blood and by the effect of the Holy Ghost. Let it be so for your life in the name of Jesus. I declare any damn cell in your life, whether a male or a female, who are camouflaged in a very beautiful body, they are camouflaged in a very beautiful dress, and they are manipulating your life, they are destroying your life behind the scenes by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Let their power be broken in the name of Jesus. Let the blood liberate you. We cast that demon out. We cast that power out and liberate your destiny, liberate your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare anybody you have trusted, anybody you have believed in, and they are possessed with a spirit and they are selling your information, I declare today, may the fire separate you away from them and may the Holy Ghost penetrate your life, liberate your life right now in the name of Jesus. I declare any demon that has taken residence in your family and is making sure that your life is unfruitful, marriages in your family are unfruitful, that there is barrenness in the house, I declare today, may the power and the angel of God run through your family, uproot those altars, uproot those idols, destroy those demons, vamoose them out of your house, out of your family, that this very day your house be set free, that you shall be fruitful, you shall be fruitful, you shall no longer be barren, you shall not be stagnant. I declare this very day, any spirit of retrogression in your family be broken, any snail be broken, any beat be destroyed in your life and your family in Jesus' name. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, any false prophet that has been hide over your life, I declare in the name of Jesus, in the spirit of the prophet that is not of Jehovah that has ever touched your life, I declare in the spirit of divination that has ever entered your life, today may the consuming fire release it out of your life, release it out of your family in the name of Jesus. May the blood purge you. May the blood release you from it right now in the name of the living Christ. Be liberated in every avenue and department of your life in Jesus' name. Tonight I declare that any information concerning your life that has been exposed into satanic details, that has been given away, that there is false advertisement about your life, there is character assassination concerning your life, I declare today that any demon in charge of that operation, may they be paralyzed in the name of Jesus. May they be demoted of their position in the name of Jesus. May you be restored in the name of Jesus. Any disgrace you went through, any failure you went through, any humiliation you went through, may you receive a double for your trouble in the name of Jesus. I declare any sorcery, any horoscope, any fortune telling, any soothsaying, anything that opened the gateway into your life, where demons had the ability to afflict your life from without and from within, I pray today, may the blood of Jesus Christ touch you from the crown of your head to the very sole of your feet. I declare today, as Jesus ascended that very day and demons were exposed, may every demon in your life be exposed in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare today, as Jesus ascended and he took captivity captive, I declare every demon in your life, let them be captured, let them be arrested right now in the name of Jesus. I declare they will not find anywhere to hide. I declare may the blood of the Lamb pursue them to their hiding place. I declare tonight, as Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended and he made a public disgrace of them, may every demon be disgraced in your life. Let them be disgraced, let them be exposed, let them be stripped naked in your life in the name of Jesus. I declare, may the power of God be ignited over your life. I declare, may the blood have an effect over your life. Wherever you will stand, may you be a threat to demons. May you be a threat to the powers in the underworld. I declare, may God activate your spiritual gifts and your ability. May your eyesight be loose. May your hearing be loose. I declare this very day, may the empowerment of the Holy Ghost fill your life, promote your life, use you wherever you stand, in your house, in your job, around the block, around the street. May the Holy Ghost use you to break every satanic bandage, every demon in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray.